never filtered, always fun.
Six of the seven G7 leaders decided that they're going to go for a walk because they're walking up the hill to get some picturesque moment or whatever. Trump holds off and takes a golf cart up the hill.
I think it's brilliant. That's a veteran move.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. And yes, now on TSN 2. Don't have to ask. Lock it in.
You should ask.
All right.
TV, right?
Be ready to rock here.
Let's really elevate our game now.
Big hour coming up because Jerry's Percentages making a rare appearance to kick off the 6 p.m. hour.
I like it, though. I like it because we're going to bring it to the viewers.
Right.
Not just the listeners, the viewers.
Even people driving around, sometimes you get in your car at 6 p.m., you never get to hear Jerry.
So do you have to explain yourself?
Yeah, I guess I should probably break it down.
Like the MyPillow thing?
This.
Well, yeah, I mean, the history of Jerry's.
It's
pretty simple. I mean, Jerry joins us with a bunch of hot takes, rapid-fire hot takes. We place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually happening.
Is it like a parody account? Would you have to, like, put that waiver on there?
Well, it's not actually Jerry or Gary.
Gary.
Right?
It's our own person, Jerry Bettman.
Yeah, we've created our own little guy here, and he calls in every Wednesday, usually at 5:30. Now he's going to call in at 6.
All right.
You okay with that description? Does that meet
I think that breaks it down for everyone so they understand what's going on when we start to dive into Jerry's Percentages.
All right, we'll get to that in a moment. The Jays are on fire. They've won 8 of 9. Steve Phillips joined us earlier. We'll play a clip that he dropped on us about how much credit John Gibbons should be given for keeping this team afloat. And, you know, I mentioned Devin Travis back at the top of the order to kind of get that conversation started. He personified the problems they had earlier in the year. When they were 2-11, man, he was in a black hole.
Yeah.
He was a mess. They were taking him out of games. Like, he wasn't even playing games because they're like, go sit in the corner and figure your life out. You've been brutal. And now he's completely turned his season around, back at the top of the order where he should be. And I expect he stays there for a long time.
Yep.
But I think they handled him properly. Gave him some days off, moved him further into the lineup or back in the lineup so the focus wasn't on him as much and his issues.
Yep.
Let him get back on pace and let him continue to be on pace for a while before you move him back up to where he should be. So credit to Gibbons, and we'll let you hear what Phillips had to say about Gibbons a little bit later in the afternoon. You guys want to quickly hear what Lou Lamoriello had to say? He was doing a sit-down with Pierre LeBrun. I think it's going to debut on SportsCenter tonight. It'll be up on TSN.ca. We've talked a lot about the captaincy. There hasn't been one since Dion was traded.
Yep.
And we all expect and kind of know it's going to be Austin Matthews. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when.
Lou was asked about that. Here's what he had to say.
Right now, that isn't something in the forefront. I think that, you know, we've had tremendous leadership this year, you know, with a lot of young players. And I don't think that right now is something, as I said, is on the forefront, nor, you know, is being considered at this point. And would not be surprised if we did not, you know, have a captain next year.
I think you could take that to the bank.
That is him saying there's no captain next year. The following year, Austin Matthews gets to see. That's what I take out of it.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to change his mind. Lou's not a guy who wings it. He's not going to wake up mid-August and say, you know what, now that I think about it, yeah, captain.
Yesterday, we picked apart Brian McClellan's comments about Alex Ovechkin. Of him not slamming the door and be open to a deal if a hockey deal was presents itself. What I take out of that is there's no captain next year, and that's it. Like that's
which is totally fine. It really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But maybe it means they know they're not going to win a Stanley Cup, so they don't have to worry about which guy's going to go out there and actually take it from Gary.
I just believe
I'll say that Austin Matthews has an A on his jersey, though.
Yeah.
I would do that. Why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't you?
Just have some rotating assistants, and then next year you get him to see.
You got home and away assistants, four of them.
Is there anything Matthews can do over the next 12 months that will make us think this time next year he won't be the captain?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He gets injured, misses 85% of the season. He's still going to be the guy.
There's only one thing, and that's off-ice bad legal trouble.
I was just going to say, if he did something stupid off the ice that tarnished himself and the brand, they'd have to have a reset. Outside of that, no. He's your captain. He's your guy moving forward, and he's not going to do that, so don't even... You know,
and of all the athletes in Toronto, even though he's only 19, he's probably the last guy I would expect to do something stupid and find himself in trouble.
Right.
Not to say it can't happen or won't happen. I mean, we've been shocked a lot in the sporting world. We were just shocked 2 days ago with Tiger Woods. But he's 19, maybe he's 20 now.
If I was his agent, he wouldn't leave his condo without a driver and a security guard. Every time.
Well, his parents here, right?
Why do you think that's funny? That's dead serious, man. I'm not talking about grocery store.
The conviction that you came with.
The grocery store, fine. But you're going out to eat, it's driver, security guard. Driver, security guard. Every time. It's non-negotiable.
I get that. In today's world. Problem is if he wants to go with Mitch Marner and Morgan Riley, the young group.
Well, then the driver and the security guard will be there, too.
Yeah. I get it. He wants to go to Maison on Mercer. Is that still open?
Even? I have no idea, man.
Little club there, like a couple.
Nice little spot. Rooftop, I think.
Yeah, the rooftop patio.
Driver, security guard, everywhere.
Okay.
Imagine that guy, if he wanted to go to a bar, how mauled he would get. I watched it with Sundin. It's insane.
What if he wore the jean jacket and the sunglasses?
That he rocked the Blue Jay game? I think he might get away with it, to be honest.
The incognito. No, I get what you're saying. But these guys are still young, but I'm getting back to more a year from now. Image-wise, there's nothing, unless he absolutely had a massive blunder that he couldn't dig out of, then we're talking to see a year from now. That's the way I see it.
I think you're right. But I think across the board, 100% Jerry's percentage.
I talked about it, baby steps as well. Next year, he has to be accessible in the media. He has to do walk-off interviews. Not doesn't have to, but he's going to because he's not a rookie. So I think they're going to see, hey, let's dip your toe into this. This year he dipped his toe. Next year he's wading up to his waist. And then the following year when he's the C, when he wears the C, it's full on. And he knows the market. He's going to be able to handle it. And it's not like it's this thing that overwhelms you. But I think they learned. And Babcock, I think there was some truth to his comments in watching what Dion went through, watching the type of pressure that's on a guy on a daily basis on top of your play. It does add a subtle layer.
It adds something to it.
A subtle layer.
I think the perception of the fans also changes the reality of the situation. And by that, I mean Dion was not liked by the majority of fans. Matthews is unanimously adored.
Yeah.
So I do think it's different. I agree with you. I think they did look at that situation. Babcock said it on our show 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So I got to witness what Dion went through, and I'm not sure I'm ready to put someone through that right now. But Dion was so polarizing.
Right.
People put pressure on him that wasn't possible to even meet the expectations of some fans.
Well, there wasn't a guy in that room that could handle the C other than him. You think Phil could... Phil was the best player. You think he could handle the C? Talking to Phil every day.
I think Phil had an A.
No, I don't think he did.
He won anything. He wanted nothing to do with that other than playing hockey. Like, that's the when you have to be the guy in a room that has to handle the outside stuff, not the inside stuff. The inside stuff the guys sort out on their own levels. The outside stuff where you speak for the team. You speak Roberto Luongo. We're going to have him on the show soon. We should ask him about the burden of a captaincy as a goaltender, too.
That was
so weird. He said he had a tough time because he said after a game, he's got to talk not about his play, but about the power play. It's like, that's the guys at the other end dealing with it. And I've got to talk about my team's power play that night. Like, it's a different dynamic. It's a slight layer, but it is a layer.
You're speaking on behalf of everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, every single day. All right, you guys ready for Jerry's percentages?
Yes.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. Jerry's Percentages, brought to you by... I'll tell you about that a little later.
By who?
Oh, well, the wrong read is in the lineup. So
boy, our producer
I almost got caught. I almost started going down the road of a read that I should not have been going down. So we'll get to that right after we actually hit Jerry's best Portuguese chicken, our friends at BPC,
yes,
right?
We
but
love
I'll
them.
Actually give the appropriate read after Jerry's. How's that sound?
Perfect.
All right, let's see what Jerry has in store this week.
The NHL's rule allowing offside review will remain intact for at least the next five seasons.
Simply because I know it pisses everyone off. And I love that. Boo away, you pigeons.
I think there's a lot of truth in that, that Jerry loves the fact that people hate on this rule, and as a result, he's just going to be stubborn about it. But he's saying that offside review will be intact for at least the next five seasons.
20%. He can't, like, he's got to understand that it needs some alteration.
I just need one little clarification. Can there be modification of the rule? Because I believe the plane of the blue line is
coming.
No,
I think you got to have it black and white. You got to say as is.
Yeah, it's either the way it is or no, they get rid of it. It's either the way it is or they get rid of it.
Because it's going to be there, but they're going to modify it. So I don't know how to answer that. 100% it's going to be there. But I believe they're going to modify it. This is the first generation. This is first generation iPhone. They're going to get to multiple generations.
Well, what is the modification? Like, what kind of modification could you really add to something?
That would have been a Subban goal the other night, because now you're not dealing with a skate blade over. You look at the blue line plane, and it doesn't matter for skates up or not. If part of your body is on the other side of the blue line, he's touched up. To me, that takes away so many nonsense calls, because
the idea
you've stayed,
if the blade is off the edge.
You've stayed on side technically because your body is over the plane of the blue line. To me, that's going to be a modification that comes in at some point that really cleans that rule up.
I think you're probably right. So from that standpoint, I think it'll stick. I also think that the NHL is very stubborn. I think they stick with things. I think they make a decision, and that's it. They very rarely decide, you know what, we should revisit this and realize that it's a complete debacle and nobody likes it and nobody wants it.
Yeah.
I would get rid of it. You know where I stand on that. I don't care what the modification is, but I'll say 100% because I don't believe the NHL is going to do that. I think they'll just keep plugging away. And offside review will just be a part of the game, and that's going to be a part of the history. And that's where it's going.
If the Pens win tonight, the series is over. No miracle comeback for Nashville.
No way, no how.
100%.
Wow.
So must win for Nash.
Yes, Pittsburgh wins tonight. They win the series. I think they'll get one in Nash.
I can't go 100%. I just can't. I'll actually go to the numbers based on what Ray's been saying.
90%.
90%. I got to leave a 10% window open that Nashville down 2-0 can come back. Like, think about what that building's going to be like in Game 3 and Game 4.
Oh, it'll be a circus.
Mm-hmm. Thing is, though, even if Nashville wins tonight, I don't believe that they'll win the series. So I've got to say 100% because... to win that Jerry's percentage, you have to pick that
they're going to lose the series.
They're going to lose the series
regardless of how it plays out.
Right. So I'll go with 100.
Okay. I we're all on Pitt, but right. I said Pitt in 7, which means I'm talking coin flip by the final game.
Right. Right.
So I don't. You know, I think tonight clearly is very important. Needless to say, but even if Nashville goes down 2-0, I think they're good enough to kind of keep plugging away and make it a series. So I'm not going to go 100%. I'll say 90%.
Okay.
The Jays will be over 500 by June 15th.
And never look back.
Listen, man, they could be over 500 by the end of the weekend and never look back, the way they're plugging away.
75% for me. I like the way I can't remember a season of any fan of a team or a team I followed where I've been so down and just been like close to saying, if I watch or I don't care, to being engaged where it's like, this is exciting. This looks like a team that can do some damage. It's quite a flip-flop.
This weekend is clearly big just because of who they're playing. four games against the Yankees. The Yankees, I think, will remain in it. I don't know if they're going to win the division. I don't know if they'll even stay in a wild card spot. But I think they'll plug away, and they'll have interesting, important games in September. So this weekend will be big. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you.
Wow.
A little bit higher than that. I think the way they're trending in terms of health and production, 80%. 80%. Wow. They're above 500 by June 15th, and they don't look back.
83%. Because I think they are. I think they're trending in the right direction.
Well, it doesn't mean that they're going to run off a bunch of wins.
No, but like, just by June 15th, two
June
weeks
15th.
From now.
In 2 weeks, they're above 500. They're whatever it is, 35 and 34, and they just...
Yeah.
They play 500 baseball or better the remaining 100 games.
I agree.
95 games. I think you have to feel pretty good about where they're at. Now, that can change on a dime.
Well, if Donaldson comes up.
Donaldson gets hurt. They drop, you know, they get four game sweep at the hands of the Yankees this weekend. Clearly, that would
but they've got some
be
time.
A dicey situation, but they do have a lot of time. So, yeah, I think most people are looking at the Jays and saying, you know what, you got to feel pretty good about where they're at right now.
I'm on that.
Tiger Woods will lose at least one sponsor because of the DUI.
The company should shift that money over to the NHL. No lockout clauses, though.
Yeah, you never have a lockout clause, man. You're getting paid regardless if they're playing in the NHL.
I will say 100% somebody will drop them.
They've been very quiet so far.
Nike said they're standing by them.
Well,
I don't know. This is different because this is just darker. This is more of a...
It's also business, too. You have to understand, regardless of this action that created the negative publicity, this guy, whatever he does, he still moves the needle.
Mm-hmm. Well, think
so that's what
you
have to weigh. Do you really want to have your name attached to it? But it's business, too.
I think people are more sympathetic. You may not want to be. But it's not like he wasn't drunk. Yes, he had taken
drugs.
This
is a journeyman... Tour pro that has sponsors so we can go from tournament to tournament. They are saying goodbye forever.
Yeah, I don't think he'll lose. I think he'll hold tight.
Hold on. The one thing I would think about, and I would love to get an honest answer on this, and just a breakdown in terms of his value still. The guy doesn't play. He's not going to play anytime soon. So you're selling the brand, and listen, Michael Jordan's the best example. Jordan hasn't played in a decade, but he's still worth $1 billion because everyone wants Jordan. His brand has been built up to that point where Gretzky's the same way. Gretzky hasn't played since the 90s, yet he's still selling products left, right, and center. He's a great endorser because of who he is. Tiger's going to have an element of that, but is there a part of these deals that were predicated on him actually playing at some point? And now this is an out clause because it's like, now that I think about it, I don't think you're going to play.
Right.
And you're giving me an opportunity to get out. I'm going to say there's a chance someone bails on him. And it may not be tomorrow or over the next few days, but at some point, and I think they'll cite this, I'll say 80% he loses at least one endorsement. 80%.
All right. I'm going to say 22%.
You think they're going to stay by him?
I'm going to say people stand by him. Because
somebody will drop him just to make a stand and say, we're not putting up with this behavior.
But what's the timeline on that? Like, it's been a couple of days now.
And to me, this story comes out, and it's kind of softening. But unless we see the dash cam and stuff, like, there's more to this that's unraveling. So,
well, the dash cam was supposed to come out yesterday. Then it was supposed to come out today. Someone's protecting that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So tomorrow we could be talking a spicy meatball if he...
If the dash cam's really bad, somebody might step up and just say,
Well, how can it possibly be good? How can a guy asleep at the wheel with damage all over the car?
It's really a bizarre story.
I almost don't want to see it.
You know, like,
it is. Like, I'm going to watch it, but, like, you got to feel for the guy. Like, everything that's happened to him, a lot of it, listen, he's done to himself, but how did he get to a punchline? How did he get to a meme type of lifestyle?
Well,
like, he's done it to himself.
Michael Jordan has too, but in a different way.
But that was like a Hall of Fame speech, and someone caught the face, and they're like, I got to apply this to Twitter. Like, that was innocent goofing.
I'd like to see who actually invented that Jordan meme.
The crying Jordan face?
Yeah.
It's true. Who would take claim to that?
Yeah, because...
Some guy with 14 followers who created it somehow and got 50,000.
Jordan
retweets.
Also created something else with his speech to the fans at UNC. He was supposed to give this big motivating speech, and you can like search it. And he was like, "For you, the roof is the ceiling," and they were like, "What?" You got to hear it.
He's MJ, man. He can do it and say whatever he wants. Do whatever he wants.
What a beauty.
The NBA Finals will finish in five or less games.
These hot takes are like shooting fish in a barrel.
Jerry's getting pretty confident, man.
He loves himself today.
Five or fewer games.
8%.
You think it's going at least six?
Yep. It's going the distance.
I called a sweep from the Pens. I'm not going against that.
You got a sweep? I think Golden State wins it in five or fewer.
Oh, we're not even talking about the Pens.
No, we're talking about the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go six. Don't you think G State's going to make quick work of Cleveland?
I've got Golden State.
Quickly?
LeBron James.
I know it's very difficult. They've got Kevin Durant this year. Last year, you know, they threw that away. They were up 3-1. Now, Cleveland stole it from them, too. LeBron put forth a performance like we've never seen before. I just think Golden State is so good, such a well-oiled machine. They're so motivated. I think Golden State, and I got the Warriors in like five. I'm going to go pretty high on this.
Really?
70%. Wow. 70% it finishes in five or fewer games.
80. I'll go 80.
Wow.
Yeah, you think so? I hope you're right. I want to see it. I don't care who wins. I want to see seven games.
I'm telling you right now. LeBron and those guys, they're going to find a way. This guy does it.
It is the dumbest bet in pro sports, betting against LeBron.
What kind of ratings would that Game 7 do again this year?
25 million?
20, 30 million? Yeah, it would have to be just astronomical numbers.
That is redonk.
30 million, I would say, yeah, probably maybe more than that, honestly.
Yeah.
The third time, second Game 7 in a row, Golden State, the Oracle's hopping.
Yeah,
I think it's a Sunday after Sunday night too. It's like an 8 p.m. It's prime time Sunday night.
Yeah, back to Vegas for the boys, maybe.
I would think so. Regardless of who wins, you're going right back to the pool party in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think 30 million plus, they could easily do that.
Yeah.
Peter Laviolette will celebrate harder than anyone else on the bench if the Preds score an OT winner tonight.
You go, big guy. Where it is, you used to tell Jeff O'Neill about his pro barrel. You've got one too now, Lavi. You've got one too.
Lavi's got a boiler.
He's got the tight talk and his boiler's hopping, but man, he can coach. And I would say 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
They win in overtime. No one will celebrate more than Laviolette.
He may scale
He'll do
glass.
The WWF celebration with the fist pump.
I'm a fan of that, man. We've said that before.
Too. I've always wondered how coaches, the guys score, and they just walk off, shake hands, see you later, goodbye. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, why are you playing Joe Cool? Who asked you to be so cool?
I don't know, but I agree 100%. This guy would scale the glass.
Speaking of Joe Cool, I think it's Joe Namath. It's his birthday today.
74 or something.
He is not struggling.
Yeah, someone sent us a note earlier about that. He's
Joe
getting up
Namath.
There. That is
Joe Cool.
Was it a tennis or a soccer player that just got in trouble for trying to kiss a?
Yeah, it was a tennis player at the French Open.
Yeah,
it was really awkward. It was so I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah,
you
like
show me that in the commercial.
Like he goes in like aggressively
for like a kiss
a
and
kiss.
Like tries to pull her in and she pulls off. She fights him off.
Right.
The guy was being an idiot.
Well, he had lost the match too, but now he's like banned from the French Open.
Yeah, they took his card.
Yeah, like you
were that.
Yeah, dude.
I want to see it.
It was aggressive. Like Namath said, "I want to kiss you." He didn't actually follow through.
Loaded out of his tree.
Yeah, he was really having himself a good time.
Where this guy was just being a donkey.
It's also my sister's birthday today.
Really?
Shout out to my older sister.
Happy birthday.
Right. Nice. She'll come up in the three stars.
First
star. All right, Drag's coming up, and we'll let you hear what Steve Phillips had to say. Pumping the tires of John Gibbons for keeping this season afloat. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. All right, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes. Darren Dreger will join us here in a moment, live from the Cup Final ahead of Game 2 tonight. You're sticking with the sweep, eh? You still got Pitt and four?
Yeah, why not?
Here's another thing we should have had in Jerry's percentage. Jerry's percentage, a dope sneaks in one of those fishes and throws it on.
It's a good question, right? Because the guy, the original dope from Game 1, I didn't realize he was 37 years old.
Really?
37, and they dropped the charges, though. Jacob Waddell was his name. All charges dropped against him, which I think is realistic. I know you're a bigger fan of crime and punishment.
I want a harder line on people like that. Like, I just do.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think this was enough of a deterrent. Hey, the guy got arrested. He got dragged out of there. He could have been facing significant taser charges.
I just want to, like, a taser, I think, should have helped.
Well, in Nashville, you know what's going to happen. And they're not going to throw that fan out.
No.
Like, I think the guy got thrown out because it was in a visitor's building, right? It's like, if a Preds fan does that in Nashville, Game 3, do you think they arrest the guy?
Well, they would almost have to because the standard's been set where it's like you'd...
But in Detroit, those people who throw the octopus, they don't get arrested.
They don't even get taken out of the rink. They get celebrated.
So gross. I know people were saying, well, when you score a hat trick, you throw hats on the ice. Yeah, but there's a reason for that.
I don't think the guy should have been arrested either with that stupid fish. It's like, give him a, what is it, disturbing whatever.
The peace or whatever?
Public intox. Well, I don't know, but to be arrested.
Get a ticket. You get a ticket.
Boot him from the game.
Boot him. Get him out of the building and say you're not allowed back in here.
Right. You're out of here. Thank you. But I'm with you. You shouldn't be spending time in jail. Spending money on a lawyer or whatever. Frank Saravelli had an interesting scoop earlier today about Vegas and how they can start making deals, I believe, next week.
Yep.
And he's got a report out that Chicago is working on an interesting deal where they're going to, I guess, allow Trevor Van Riemsdyk to be claimed. They're not going to protect him.
Right, right.
Knowing that Vegas would want him and they would claim him, but they will only do it as if they take
Marcus Kruger
in a trade.
If you don't want that, we'll trade him to somewhere. We'll trade him.
Or we'll protect them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could protect them. I don't think they would, but maybe, or to your point, exactly, we'll trade them for a seventh rounder anywhere. Right. You're not going
to
get them.
Right-handed defenseman who can play pretty much, he can get to your second pairing, but I think he's a third pairing defenseman. But he would have some value, and he doesn't make a ton, so he would be attractive. But, yeah, Chicago needs a clear cap space for Panarin's contract to jump in. And you don't want to move a guy like Jalmerson, who's on money, on a good term as your number three, and you've got Seabrook and Keith. So,
wouldn't you go to Seabrook and say, can you waive? They're not going to take you. Like that, we talked about Ottawa doing that with Dion, Anaheim doing that with Bieksa. They're not going to take Seabrook. He's got like 6 years left at $8 million or something.
The thing is, he's a hell of a defenseman. Like, that's the thing. Like, well, be careful.
Not at that price.
You grab him and you can move him somewhere else.
All right, let's head to Pittsburgh now, catch up with Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, and it's brought to you by Finance It. We're talking about that scoop from Saravelli about how Chicago and Vegas could be working out an interesting deal. I hadn't thought of that angle, Dregs, the idea of saying, okay, you can take the guy. We'll make sure he's there for you, but you got to take this other piece that we don't want. I mean, how much of that kind of activity do you expect to see?
Yeah, I expect to see it a couple of times from Vegas specifically, and you know, this is kind of a get-out-of-jail routine for Stan Bowman and the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, they did it a few years ago with Bechel, right, and Teravainen and Carolina. So there's some history here. I think they're real close on it. We've been working on this story for the last couple of days. And, you know, Bowman and the Blackhawks are going to have to do something. You know, they're a cap team, and I'm not sure that this team is going to rebound in the same fashion that others seem to think they will. I think that they're going to struggle next year to some degree. So, you know, they don't have a whole lot coming, and they've got to move out some pieces. And Marcus Kruger is a bad contract for the Chicago Blackhawks, and unfortunately it sounds like it's going to cost them Trevor Van Riemsdyk to get rid of it.
What is he? What is the con? What is so egregious about his number? What is he at, four or something?
Yeah, actually, it's less than that. Oh, I think it's around three and change. But it's just half. Process of elimination. And I heard you guys talking about Seabrook coming into the segment. And I guess he could be a target. But, you know, I saw on Twitter yesterday, I mean, his wife just had, what, their third child in the last couple of days. And my understanding of Brent Seabrook is he can be a surly SOB. And so if you go to him and say, okay, we'd like you to waive, would you be interested? He's going to say no, number one, and he's going to be pissed, and he's going to make everyone else around him pissed just by the fact that he's miserable and unhappy. So, and he's, as Noodle said, he's a good defenseman. So it may make some financial sense to target him, but I don't see it happening.
It's a good point, though. I mean, there's an element of diplomacy here with the GMs and their players. But if you're going to go to a guy like Seabrook or Phaneuf and say, can you please waive, because you're not going to get claimed. I mean, that's what I'm saying here is they're not going to take you.
Act of it.
But it means we can protect someone else. But you're right. I mean, egos get involved and they say, wait a minute. I don't want to gamble. And B, what is that? Go ask Duncan Keith to waive. Don't ask me. You know?
Well, and look, this is why I give Steve Yzerman some credit. You know, he dealt with his situation specific to the expansion draft, you know, on March 1st at the trade deadline when he maneuvered Val Filppula to the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, that was some tricky, crafty work by Yzerman because it freed up another spot, you know, for him to protect another player, but also moved a pretty healthy contract out of his way. And, you know, I'm not being critical of the Ottawa Senators or Stan Bowman and the Chicago Blackhawks for not getting their business done sooner. But, you know, George McPhee didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Like, he's not picking up players to help other teams out of cap hell. You know, to do that, you know, specific to Chicago, he's going to have to get a piece in return. And Van Riemsdyk is a pretty nice ad, I would say.
With Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. Dregs is in Pittsburgh ahead of Game 2 tonight. We've been talking a lot about how this is more than likely a must-win for Nashville. Even though I'm sure they felt pretty good about their game in Game 1, it doesn't necessarily matter. They can play the same way if they lose tonight. Just based on the percentages, they could be toast here. What kind of impression have you picked up on in terms of that urgency and the fact that they believe this is a must-win tonight?
Yeah, they definitely do. But this is going to sound silly for me to say, but it almost feels like a must-win for both clubs, to be honest. You know, Pittsburgh didn't like their game aside from the fact they won it. You know, they know that they've got to be that much better. You know, their possession game was no good. I mean, that was clearly, you know, amplified on the shot clock of not having a shot in 37 minutes of game time. I mean, it's almost absurd to think that, you know, they played that way and they still won the hockey game. But, you know, it feels like the Nashville Predators, even though they've got a real big glaring omission up the middle of the ice and Ryan Johansson, is the better team here. So I feel like Pittsburgh is going to have to amp up the urgency. You know, they take a commanding 2-0 lead into Nashville. Of course, they're in the driver's seat. But if the Preds can squeak out a split here tonight in Pittsburgh, I think the series shifts hugely in their favor.
I think it's a good point. That building, maybe we're overstating
it. It's going to be a gong show.
It will be a gong show. But the beauty of Pittsburgh is they've seen everything.
Yeah,
you know, Pittsburgh's not going to be freaked out because Carrie Underwood's on the ice or kicking around or whatever. I mean, Pittsburgh's seen everything, Dreg. So, you know, how much can that building really factor into the way games 3 and 4 are going to play out?
I don't know how much of the atmosphere is going to impact how the Pittsburgh Penguins play. But, you know, I talked to Olli Maatta earlier today, and, I mean, he was brutally honest. He just said, you know, we've got to elevate our compete level here. You know, we've got to want to win and win the one-on-one battles. And they obviously didn't do that in the second and the third period. And what that allowed the Preds to do is utilize probably the best top four in hockey right now on their blue line. I mean, their transition game owned the Pittsburgh Penguins through the second and the third, but you know, they need a better effort from Pekka Rinne, and, you know, they need a little bit more from other players as well. But to your point, I don't think Pittsburgh is unnerved by anything other than the fact that, you know, their blue line isn't as good as the Nashville Predators, and certain players are going to have to step up.
Dregs, it seemed like the rodeo went to the baseball game last night. Do you have any takeaways from the outing at the ball game, or just kind of status quo?
Yeah, you know what? I took some pictures. A couple of them I was going to share on Twitter, and I didn't, just because I didn't want to embarrass anyone. Our boy Sean Puffy Cameron, who's a key member of the team. I've never seen a guy suck the meat off a chicken bone faster or with more diligence and concentration than he did. It was I was just hitting rapid fire, taking pictures, watching this thing. But the moment of the game for us, we had pretty good seats. You know, we're in section 107. They're firing the T-shirt gun from the field. And Puffy, Sean Cameron, has got one in his sights. I mean, this T-shirt ball is coming right at him. And at the last second, James Duffy selfishly reaches up to grab this thing and knocks it out of Sean Cameron's hands and into the hands of like a 20-year-old dude two rows behind us. And Puffy was beside himself. He left the group and didn't come back for about a half hour.
I don't blame him.
See, Duffy said, "Don't believe the story. I intentionally deflected it to an orphan behind me."
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, other than the orphan had two brothers and his mom with him.
Besides those facts, everything else is fake news.
James Duffy was this amazing flag football player.
Man. Right. Can't catch a
skilled
shirt
or anything, but can't catch a ball.
Rubber boots, pile of garbage.
Or a T-shirt thrown his way. Dregs, I saw your tweet about ushers.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on if people were smuggling fish in.
Yeah, and they're dead serious, too, it'll say. You know, where our setup is here at PPG Arena, you know, we're on the upper concourse, and they had an usher meeting, and I overheard the, I'm going to assume he's the head usher, tell the rest of them, you know, pay extra attention. If something looks fishy, no pun intended, then stop that individual and let's make sure that there's no catfish that is smuggled into the building. I mean, that whole thing is ridiculous to me. I mean, who straps a 15-pound catfish to their crotch to smuggle it from wherever the hell he brought it? I guess a fish store in Nashville, drives over it a bunch of times to flatten it out so he can pack it and so he can tape it to his thigh and crotch so that he can walk it into the building. I mean, it's absurd. I've never understood the Red Wings tradition of the octopus on the ice, and this one in Nashville and carried into Pittsburgh here to me is just goofy.
Fishgate.
As he said, man, just a dumb redneck that made a stupid decision. And
yeah.
He got a lot of publicity for it, so you know what that means in 2017. Someone's going to try to follow his lead. I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked. All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for big dreams and everyday budgets.
My brother, who's a police officer, texted me and said, "Trespass to Property Act, engage in prohibited activity is the ticket."
Ask your brother if he would tase him, too, because I think he should.
He should get tased for the fish?
If you catch the guy in the act as he's throwing it, you can shoot the taser and knock him right down, send him into the chicken.
And then the catfish lands on some guy's head.
Exactly.
Forgot to get this in earlier. Jerry's Percentages, don't forget, it's brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From
chicken.
Two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. 942 the Queensway, bestpc.ca, best chicken going. Best chicken going. All right, 3 stars, best bets, a couple other things, too. Overdrive continues. You all right over there, Noodles?
I just want to see who's going to sing the anthem games 3 and 4 in Nashville, because you know it's not that
guy. No, it's
guy.
Not Derek K. Morgan or whatever his name was.
Dennis K. Morgan.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No, he's out.
He's done.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine, continuing to ride the Yankees. I think they pick up a win before they roll up to Toronto, and the Jays will be waiting for them. I'm on Boston, winning again in the south side of Chicago tonight, and I'm going to take Nashville.
Are you?
Well, I got Pitt in 7, so I think this is a must-win for the most part, and I think Nashville will find a way to get it done. Throw down 20 and you can score 93. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Steve Phillips joined us earlier in the afternoon. Because the Jays have won eight of nine. They're a game under 500. They got the Yankees in town for four. We were talking about Travis being atop the order again and how he had a lot of issues back in April. And Phillips had this to say about how much credit John Gibbons should be getting for what this team has gone through.
Biagini became a more important guy in the bullpen, and they put him in the rotation. And Barnes and Leon are guys who have kind of emerged and taken on more important roles because of the way they've been managed by John Gibbons and coached by Pete Walker. They deserve a ton of credit for keeping this afloat.
And he said, listen, stop with the idea of moving on from this manager. And it's never going to happen. There are people that hate on Gibbons. But if they, let's say they drop three or four against the Yankees, people will be calling in on Monday saying, get rid of him. Gibby, you know, for whatever reason, he did something stupid. But I think he's handled this really well. All the injuries they had, 2-11 start, the dark cloud that has been hanging over this team.
Right.
And he found a way to get the bats hopping when need be. He utilized the bullpen and the arms that he had best way he could. The rotation has been just depleted with injuries, and he's found a way to make it work.
That's why I always think it's so important for a coach or a skipper or whatever to always stay true to himself and not change through difficult times. Because Gibby, when things aren't going well, they're like, oh, he's too relaxed. He doesn't care enough. And then when he comes out the other end of it, he's like, he's patient, he's calm. And it's like, that's how the narrative changes in a situation like that. So if he changes, like I've seen some coaches do that I have, where you start freaking out on guys and there's fake outrage and fake yelling, you're like, you're not staying true to yourself. And I think it really helped Gibby in this situation.
So true. Even at 2-11, the guy's coming out cracking jokes. He's going to be – listen, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. He knew after 11 games or 13 games, they still had 150 left to play. He stayed consistent. And people are going to love him or hate him. That's the way the sports world works. But I think you got to give Gibbons credit and the Jays credit for that matter. They've been rolling. Tomorrow we'll really tee up Jays-Yankees. We'll look back on game two. Should be a good night tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.